Our Bible reading today begins with treasure. And that's an idea sure to excite pretty much any listener. All of us, whether wealthy or not so much, have some ideas about treasure. We know and remember the pirate stories from our childhood, how treasure must always be hidden, right? And buried and kept safe beneath the earth in strong or unassailable vaults. If it must be out in the open, then you sure wouldn't put your treasure in a glass case in full view. You'd hide it in something opaque, something heavy, something strong, something non-portable and non-breakable. That would be the storage unit of choice for treasure. Unless you're God. God has other opinions on the matter, especially if the treasure we're discussing is the power of Christ, the very essence and energizing force of life itself. For that treasure, God has chosen something much more humble, a clay vessel, as it were, which fits none of the criteria we would list for treasure storage, except that you can't see through it. One could get the idea that God intends the treasure to leak out. And it's okay with the treasure getting shared around. And if you got that idea, you would be right. This passage in its original context was written directly about Paul and his preaching companions, the first of the gospel ministers. And by any account, they had a rough way to go in this world. It was his analogy that he himself felt like a fragile, expendable, easily damaged vessel for the amazing treasure that was entrusted to him. The truth, the message, the light of life that we have come to call Jesus. And his brilliant insight was that we humans, and not just the original ministers, but all of us, that we humans get pretty wrapped up in being strong and being powerful and being invincible and being immortal and other impossible categories. And if we're not careful, that the God part of us might never see the light of day. If we really were impervious and unbreakable, we would get arrogant. We would think we had no need of God. But part of being human is to live into that title. Because humans, made of humus, the soil of the earth, need to have humility. And we need to know, not just say occasionally, that life isn't all about us. God is at work in the world through us, through others. We are God's vessels, God's instruments. You could say. I have a humble instrument here. It is humble in the sense that it is made from humus. It is made from the clay of the earth. And this particular one is called an ocarina nowadays, but over the centuries it's been known by many names. It's fragile, as clay tends to be. If I smacked you upside the head with it, it would hurt. But if I dropped it on the sidewalk, its song would be ended. But while it is still whole, it is resonant space and resilient vessel, and it holds a great treasure. It receives and holds and forms the player's breath. And that breath is converted by this humble thing into musical sound. Here's what it sounds like. that pretty? But right here is Paul's point. It's not the shape of a jar, but it's another earthenware form. The point is that the instrument is just a lump of clay without the breath. Without the breath, this is just a paperweight. It is the life-giving breath that converts this blob of fired earthenware into a musical instrument. And the breath, of course, as we've discussed over and over again, is the God part. It's the extraordinary gift of life that we can nourish and cultivate and enjoy, or we can choose to starve and oppress and waste, but the part that we can never create by ourselves. Never. We have the treasures of Christ and Spirit and breath and life itself, courtesy of God and God alone. And so that we would remember that, these treasures are stored in us, in clay vessels. So it will be clear what is actually treasure and what is just the container for the treasure. Trouble is, we fall in love with the containers. We fall in love with our own. We fall in love with other people's. Because we relate to each other through the medium of the containers. We hug and kiss and wrestle and dance, not in the spirit, but in actual flesh, courtesy of the containers. You discover by now that your world is willing to sell you endless decor for your container and will encourage you to enroll in costly programs to make your container more supple and fit and attractive. But at the end of the day, these human vessels of ours, they're fragile. They do not last forever. And when the Spirit departs and leaves our loved ones' vessels unattended, we experience great pain and great loss because too often we have, in fact, fallen in love with the container rather than the treasure. Which brings me around to Memorial Day, a national day of honoring and remembering those who were called upon to surrender their treasure prematurely in defense of their country. The unfathomable hardships of war and military service are the same kinds of challenges faced by those early ministers of the gospel. Afflicted in every way, Paul writes, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Except for those whom we honor today, that last one is not quite true. Their earthly vessels were compromised, and the light and love and peace that was within them returned to God. If we miss their earthly vessels only, then ours will be a hard and a bitter road today. But if we celebrate the eternal qualities of God that lived within them for a time and live on still, we may have a more faithful and a more fruitful response. We may remember them as instruments of the Almighty, resonant and resilient. We may celebrate the songs they got to sing, even though they didn't have their whole expected lives to sing more. And we may learn from them to enjoy the treasure of God enthroned within them more than our common habit of fretting about the inevitable crumbling of their pottery.